Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. Huntworthgear.com. By Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay. ProfHearingCare.com. By the Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, CastleRock-Petenwell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, WoodsideRanch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, a Lake Michigan report, a recap on my trip to Lake of the Woods, and hunting advice for people who want to get started. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Well, joining me again from home this week, Jeff Kelm. Well, Jeff, how did the Cass Lake tournament go? You were in Minnesota. I think I almost drove past you there. We were up in Lake of the Woods. How was that tournament?
It was great. You know, Cass Lake's always a fun place to go. Stony Point, just really super accommodating to us and the anglers. And, we always have a good time. And this time around, you know, a little bit warmer than we typically see, a Cass Lake event. But it really didn't stop the anglers from showing up. We had 94 teams, show up at that event. One of the, probably the record for Cass. If it's not the record, it's within a boat or two. The bite was really tough for the out of town teams. The team's still learning Cass, not able to spend day after day on the body of water. Dave Zothman and Jared Fehrenbacher, managed to figure it out. They caught just shy of 40 pounds of fish, took home over $14,000 in cash and prizes. And, you know, everybody had a good time, being there hanging out. It's always a good time at Cass.
Well, nice. And you are home this week, but you've got one more tournament next weekend.
Yeah, one more for the season. We got the World Walleye Championship coming up in Alpena, Michigan. Anglers will be fishing that Thunder Bay area, the big bay in Lake Huron. And fish are going to be there. It's going to be a matter of, does the wind agree with the anglers to be able to stay on those fish? Lake Huron, I would say, is probably the most difficult of the Great Lakes to walleye fish. That we typically would see. Even though you've got some of these bays to go to, Huron just so easily, like very much like Lake Erie, gets real angry in a hurry. Things move in real fast. But unlike Lake Erie, it seems like your wave distances and things like that are much shorter, much harder to control. Erie tends to roll for a little while. Huron doesn't. So always a challenge there. But the anglers are going to enjoy it, and World Walleye Championship, nothing beats that.
I guess. And you're home this weekend. Any hunting, or are you still moving into your new home?
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything set up to take care of deer yet. You know, I could certainly make it work if I had a deer I was targeting, but I don't. I'm still exploring the area with cameras and trying to figure some stuff out. And I don't know if the warm weather maybe has some things kind of just a little goofy, but not even seeing deer, where I have seen deer in the past. So, yeah, maybe something just changed and I'll have to, kind of re-scout the property.
Yeah. Well, I'm holding off hunting myself, and I just got back from Ballard's Black Island on the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods. We had 17 people with us this year, including some folks who joined us last year. And we had a great trip. We caught walleye for shore lunch. We had two great shore lunches right there on the beach. And as we were coming up to the first spot, there was a bear sitting on the picnic table. I think he got the memo that we were going to be there, but he was a little early. He took off when he saw 7 or 8 boats coming in. But, yeah, we caught crappies and perch and some really nice smallmouths, a few northerns in the mix, including one 34-incher that a young fellow named Clay Tennis from northern Illinois caught right off the dock. He was fishing right after dinner one night, and he caught this beautiful 34-incher. Nice. No muskies, although we did see one that followed the guide's bait, Spence Caruso, when he was trying to catch the line that for some reason just broke my brother's rod, on Mike's rod. That fish followed, and we backed off and cast for him a while, didn't see him again. And then when we pulled the trolling motor up, there was the line and the bait that Mike had lost. So we didn't lose anything. It was just kind of a crazy thing, though. We had, as always, phenomenal food for a remote camp on an island in the Canadian wilds. And we'll talk more about that when I talk with my brother and his son. Coming up, charter captain Dumper Dan Welch sums up his great season on Lake Michigan, and my brother Mike and Adam, his son, share their impressions of our trip to Ballard's Black Island, and John Motovilov talks about opportunities for new hunters through Pheasants Forever and the Wisconsin DNR. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkaline and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. This segment is brought to you by the Wisconsin DNR Hunter Education Program. You can learn all about hunter education classes, mentoring opportunities, and information on hunting as a new hunter or becoming a hunter education instructor on the DNR website, keywords hunter education. And fall hunting seasons, of course, are underway. Grouse and bow deer opened last weekend. Waterfowl season is just around the corner. And safety should be foremost in every hunter's mind. New hunters learn safe practices, of course, from their mentors and in their hunter education course. And joining us now to talk about recruiting new hunters and hunter safety is John Motovilov. He is Wisconsin's R3 coordinator for Pheasants Forever. John, thanks for joining us and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Always great to visit with you, Dan.
And it's great to have you back. Now, you work for Pheasants Forever, but in partnership with the DNR. So why don't you explain how that partnership works and what it is that you do?
I work as the R3 and Outreach Coordinator for Pheasants Forever. And R3, I'll unpack that in the beginning, that's recruitment, retention, and reactivation of hunters and shooting sports enthusiasts. And my role is very much tied to the Wisconsin DNR in that they provide funding for my role, though my employer is Pheasants Forever. But there's a very close, productive partnership between the two.
So what exactly do you do, John, as an R3 coordinator?
There are really three main work buckets that I have. One is running classes for novice hunters. Mostly these are adults taking up hunting late in life. And so they're the long course. They tend to be, you know, maybe 8 hours of instruction, shooting, butchering, scouting. Folks typically have not had those skills. And then we get them out in the field for a mentored hunt, whether that's squirrel, deer, pheasant, grouse, turkey, what have you. So that's one work bucket. Another work bucket is communicating, doing what I do now and talking about the good stuff that PF and DNR are doing. And then the third work bucket, I would say, is mentor development and trying to get mentors to work with these emerging hunters and telling people just how rewarding mentoring is and how much it is needed. With hunting numbers falling, we need all the help we can get to have the stool of mentoring to prop up these new hunting programs that I'm running, that DNR is running, that Wisconsin Waterfowl's running, and anyone can reach out to me if they have questions about mentoring. If they want to email me directly, it's jmotovilov@pheasantsforever.org. I can answer whatever question you have. Sometimes I'm the implementer of the hunts. Just like last night, I got a bunch of mentors, including our mutual friend Keith Warnke, out in the field with some new squirrel hunters. So we went up to Cherokee Marsh, kind of in the uplands, and had a successful night shooting squirrels and then cleaned them over the back of a truck. And we all just had a great time doing that. So squirrel and rabbit is a mainstay because it's very reproducible. You know, folks can get out and do that on their own very easily. I'm doing a crossbow hunt in conjunction with our friend Chris Kilgore of Color in the Outdoors. That deer is also super popular. People like the big protein package there. And then oftentimes the chapters, being Pheasants Forever chapters, like to run hunts for pheasants and give people an idea of what dog work looks like, what a pheasant hunt is all about. And then turkey in spring, and the final thing that I'm doing this fall is helping to run a Women on the Wing clinic, which is Pheasants Forever's branded initiative for women, and that's going to be up at Crex Meadows in the end of October. So really just about most of the things you can chase in Wisconsin, you can find a learn to hunt for.
Now, you mentioned, of course, recruiting new hunters, retaining active hunters, and reactivating former hunters. What's the balance or ratio among those three groups?
Probably the lion's share of my work is bringing new people into the fold. That said, I view my work with chapters and I view my work with mentoring is very much of either a retention and sometimes a reactivation strategy. So it's keeping people in the game of hunting, as it were, and yeah, they're gonna go out and hunt themselves, but they can also be engaged in this very rewarding way of passing their skills on to someone else. So I very much look at mentoring as a retention strategy because anyone who's done it, you know, and opened their heart to doing it, you know, will receive a great reward. It's a wonderful thing to do. So it really keeps people engaged. And as we develop as hunters, you know, maybe the killing and the bagging becomes less important and the sort of the less tangible things like heritage and values and sharing become more important. And so I'm trying to hit those notes as I engage mentors. And then finally, I would say I will sometimes run like a butchering demo for deer. And sometimes I'll run like a cooking clinic for deer or game birds. And these I review as sort of a rising tide that lifts our three boats, right? Like if you're a newbie, you might want to learn how to cut up a deer. And if you're a person who's hunted for years and doesn't like the idea of being unsure of your deer's, who's processing it, get a new skill and take that class or take a cooking class. You know, so a lot of the, so those classes tend to be a real mix of novices and then sometimes some real seasoned folks that just want to get better at their cooking or want to learn how to butcher, like that.
Well, John, with waterfowl seasons coming up, the main waterfowl seasons, that is, because the early Canada goose season has just ended, safety is something that a lot of seasoned, experienced waterfowl hunters don't think about. And you and I have been there at the landings. We've seen small boats full of hunters, gear, decoys, dogs, guns, shells. I mean, some of them get kind of overloaded. Safety is something we all ought to think about, especially those of us who are waterfowl hunting.
Oh my gosh, 100%. The one thing that, you know, while it seems funny to talk about cold weather when it's 80 degrees, we're going to be cold before you know it, and it takes very, very little time to get hypothermia, you know. So both, just as a baseline, legally, you need to have a life jacket for everyone in the boat, and for a very good reason, because you want to be able to float if you fall in. And then the other thing is looking at the capacity of your boat, which is stamped usually right by the manufacturer, and don't go over that capacity and realize that shell boxes weigh a lot, that Wisconsin people are big, that dogs weigh a lot and they move around, and that waterfowling is usually windy, cold, wave chop days. So all of those things put together, you really need to have your personal flotation device. You need to pay very close attention to the weight in the boat with decoys and guns and shell boxes. Yeah, and finally, if it feels like it's a day that you shouldn't go out, if you start taking waves over the gunwale, turn around. As much as I love duck hunting, I don't want to die in an icy bath of Mississippi River water. That's just not how I want to go out. So yeah, there's a lot of safety concerns to be aware of with waterfowling.
And of course, most of our listeners are way too young to remember the 1940 Armistice Day storm that surprised hunters and weathermen all across the upper Midwest. We now have reporting capability that lets us know when something is coming, but you can't always be ready, and it's important to be prepared.
You know, with all the technology in the world, I was out on the Mississippi 2 years ago with some really experienced hunters, and just something as simple as a wind switch. If you've got the wind at your back, fine. If it's a crosswise wind or a wind in your face and all of a sudden the chop is different, you know, you can go from being in a fine situation to being in a whole lot of trouble, especially on big water like Lake Winnebago, Great Lakes, Mississippi, in really just a few hours. So I guess I always advise people to just don't forget your common sense. There's technology and weather forecasts, but there are sort of micro conditions that shift and go from being fine to not fine in a, you know, hair trigger.
Absolutely. Well, John, we're going to let you go, but before we do, how can people get a hold of you?
I would say probably the easiest thing is to just email me at jmotoviloff@pheasantsforever.org, Motoviloff, MOTOVILOFF, and I will get right back to you and entertain any questions you got about mentoring or what have you.
All right. Well, John, thanks so much for sharing that advice and information, and I know you're a busy guy with a couple of things going on this weekend, so good luck with all that, and we will catch up with you later this fall.
Be well, and take care.
Thank you, and you as well. That was John Motoviloff. He is the Wisconsin Outreach and R3 Coordinator for Pheasants Forever, and you can find out about all the programs that DNR offers on the DNR website. Just look up Hunter Education. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. You may hear some airplane noise in the background. I am in a hotel near the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport with my brother Mike and his son Adam, and we are on our way back from our trip to Lake of the Woods. which I've been talking about now for weeks, and I just wanted to get their impression. Guys, we had a great time. Mike, you've never been up to Lake of the Woods before, have you?
First time for me. What a gorgeous lake.
And Adam, I don't imagine you've been there either.
I have not, but it was absolutely incredible.
So what was your impression, Mike, of this fishing trip compared to some others we've done?
Well, I can only say it was top shelf with everything. The lodge was wonderful. It's a beautiful sight. The guides were superb. They knew exactly where to go to find fish. The companionship of everybody was great. The vibe was wonderful. Lots of friendly chatter and laughter around the fire, and we caught a lot of fish. What could be bad? And the food was wonderful.
Yeah, Adam, how would you rate this food? You've traveled a lot, and you've eaten a lot of lodge and hotel meals and restaurant meals.
I was kind of shocked, honestly, about how high quality the food was. When you think about being, you know, on an island in the middle of what I would consider to be pretty rural, you know, rural area, the quality of food was way more than I was anticipating. It was really great, and I can't compare this trip to any other guided trips because this was my first one. But what I would ask is it too early to sign up for next year?
It is maybe a week too early. I'm just getting my feet back on the ground. I'll be home later this week, and you guys are flying out today. That's why we're near the airport. And I will talk to Danielle at Ballard's Lodge on the Rainy River in Bidette, Minnesota. And, of course, this is Ballard's Black Island Resort, which is in the middle of Lake of the Woods. And as you said, it's pretty rural is an understatement. It's wilderness up there. Well, you haven't done that much fishing, but what did you think of it?
It was good enough to want to get me into fishing.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking, you know, I probably need to go back and get my fishing license. And I think for me, more than the experience for me, which was incredible, I'm looking ahead to the experiences that I want to create for my kids. So the concept of me getting a fishing license isn't so much so that I can dive into it. It's so that I can dive into it with my kids and bring my kids along to trips like this or, you know, trips, whether they're as extensive or inclusive as this, getting my kids out on the water with my dad, with you, with, you know, Cousin John, super important for me to think about how do I instill these types of memories.
And you told us that you camp a lot with your kids. Your daughter's 13, your son is 11 now, and they are accomplished campers. You were talking about their fire starter kits that
yeah.
they have.
Yep.
And, of course, you and your brother Jay went out and did adventures with Mike when you were younger. And John, everybody knows, they've heard him so much on the radio and probably seen him on TV too, has been traipsing around in the woods and on the waters with me since he was a toddler. And now there's a new one in our family. While we were on this trip, on the full moon night, our niece, Anna Small, had a baby whose name is Enzo. And what's interesting to us anyway is that he was born on a full moon, and his grandpa, our youngest brother Pete, and Nancy, Pete's wife, they met on a full moon 515 full moons ago, Pete told us. So full moon's been pretty important in their life, and we were almost with a full moon this week. It was waxing as we were fishing.
Yeah, and the baby was born on a full moon, but it was also a harvest moon and a
super moon
and a partial lunar eclipse. That's very unusual.
Yeah, really is. And of course, my wife, whom we call Deadeye affectionately on this show, is a Vedic astrologer. So I suspect that she's already done his birth chart and can't predict his future, but I'll bet he'll be doing some fishing and some outdoor adventures. I hope with us, if Mike, you and I last long enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm planning on my 100th birthday. So, you know.
All right. You got a ways to go yet.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I asked Pete how baby watch was going on, I think, Sunday or Monday, thinking that Anna's due date was on the 17th, but it was actually, the due date was the 27th. He said, it's still, you know, a week away, but we're keeping watch. And I said, on Monday when I got back to him, I said, well, keep us posted. And, you know, sure enough, that day or the next day, Enzo was born. So it was, yeah. Enzo was on our mind.
Yeah, he was. And in fact, it was the 17th, the full moon, and we were having dinner at Aircraft, which is a unique restaurant with probably the longest bar I've seen in a restaurant that was totally vacant. And Tiffany, the waitress, what did she say when we walked in?
Oh, she said, I'm glad you guys are here. We were getting kind of bored.
Yeah.
And she was anything but boring.
She was entertaining.
Yes.
We were not really original or diversified in our meal selection. We all had a Cobb salad, and that chicken and wild rice soup that Adam, you and I had was
incredible.
The best I've had. And they actually gave us the recipe. Mike, you were surprised, and you encouraged us to ask her for the recipe.
Yeah, and I was surprised when she came out with it.
And, of course, it was a restaurant recipe, so it starts with 25 pounds of diced chicken, 5 gallons of cream, and it goes on from there. Anyway, well, back to the fishing and to the future. Adam, you said, I'd like to bring my family up here next year.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the questions was, is there an age limit? There was a 14-year-old up there. A guy brought his 14-year-old son, which was awesome. I think he added a different dynamic to the group. He ended up catching, I think, a 34-inch northern right off the dock in the harbor at camp. And everybody was hooting and hollering when he got it. I mean, you could see he was just lit up beaming with this fish, which was a really fun experience. And I think it would have been different if one of the folks who've caught hundreds of northerns got another northern, right? This was his first, and it was pretty cool. So I think the idea of figuring out how to bring younger folks up there to places like that, which I know is a conversation that's been going on in the industry and in the outdoor world, is how do we get the next generation in? And while I haven't, as you mentioned, I haven't done a lot of fishing or hunting, certainly not successfully. We have done a lot outdoors. And so, you know, having the kids learn how to start a fire with a ferro rod and build shelters with a tarp and all that kind of stuff. So they've had that instilled in them from a young age. But I really like the idea of starting to do more trips like this for that reason.
Yeah, and this would be a good one. And there were 3 women. There were supposed to be 4 couples. One couldn't make it, but there were 3 couples on this trip. And one, Gina and Dave Thorson, they joined me last year. She's the CEO of Stormy Cromer, and we have a pretty long history with Stormy Cromer. And they had a great time, and they were crappie fanatics, I guess is a fair word, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the conversation right from the first night. Who's fishing for crappie and who's fishing for muskies? I'm sure you'll have the photos posted, but there were a lot of crappies that were caught.
I think one of the women caught the largest walleye, and one of the women caught more crappies than anybody else as well.
Yes, Terry Rarig caught the 25-inch walleye, which is a very nice fish. And the way they work up there, and then part of this is Canadian regulations, Ontario regs, and part of it is the protocol at the camp. You keep fish under 17 inches, and that's for the shore lunch. And we had 2 shore lunches, and you release anything bigger than that. And I think there's an upper limit beyond which you can actually keep one. We were after muskies too in the afternoon, and Mike, we saw one. We won't go into the details of the unusual circumstances. I may talk about that separately in the show, but we saw one, and you and Adam and I wouldn't say we pounded the water, but we gave it a good try to try to raise one up there.
I'd say we pounded
the water. Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. And Adam, you have not used a muskie bait caster before, but
nope.
We gave you my St. Croix 9-foot top of the line rod from St. Croix, and it has
Gear ratio reel, though.
A very high gear ratio reel, and boy, you mastered that in short order, and you were making bombing casts to shorelines and reefs and rocks and everything else. But we saw one muskie, and for a lot of muskie hunters, that's a successful trip.
It was the first one that I'd seen, other than, you know, pictures and videos from both of you guys fishing for them. It was exciting, especially after a couple of days of casting those bombs and not seeing anything. It definitely got the heart rate up and the adrenaline going. Just an incredible, fish to see a couple of feet from the boat, a few inches down off the surface. It was really neat.
Yeah. And we see too many of them in the water. We like to see them in the air for a minute or so. Yeah.
And then in the boat.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap this up, any words of encouragement or advice for listeners who might be saying, geez, I think I might want to do that sometime?
It's a good way to start a family tradition. You know, we've been hunting and fishing in our family from my father to Dan and I, and now Adam and hopefully his kids. And it's a great place to start that. And there was one family that was there, Pete and his
Pete
son,
and Clay.
Yep. So it was a wonderful trip.
I think the other thing is, yeah, I concur, absolutely wonderful trip, especially if you're, from my experience, just kind of starting to get into it. The fact that everything was inclusive and turnkey made it so that you can focus on the experience. There was none of the logistics headaches other than getting there. None of the logistics headaches or finding the spots or, you know, anything like that. You literally just grab a rod and, you know, sit in a boat with, if you're lucky enough, with your dad and your uncle, and focus on having an incredible time. Taking a lot of the guesswork and headache out of it, it allowed me to relax and really experience it. And now that I've experienced that, I feel more confident that, okay, yeah, I can probably get into this with my kids and deal with some of the things that you have to deal with in order to get on the water and have a good time. So it was a great way to get introduced to it because it eliminated a bunch of the headaches and brought the positive experiences to the fore.
And that's what they do at Ballard's Black Island. They really take care of us. So hats off to Gary Moeller and Spence Caruso and the crew up there. And the food was great, as the guys mentioned. And Clay Tennis, a shout out to you, the hero there, catching that big pike off the dock. We were just finishing dinner. And of course, Clay and Mike, after dinner each night or after any meal, they were back on the water, on the dock, on the rocks, casting. And one of the guides came up and said, "Whose son is fishing off the dock?" And Pete thought, "Oh my God, did he fall
something
in?"
Happened.
And we all ran down there and your son's got a big fish in the net. And he had that northern on a musky bait that Gerard Hellenbrand gave him. So I think that bait is going to have a special place in Clay's collection. In fact, if he's smart, he won't use it again. He'll hang it on the wall somewhere. Anyway, guys, thanks so much. Love you both. This was a wonderful trip. Travel safe home, and let's do this again.
Yeah, love you too, Dan, and let's repeat it.
Absolutely. Love you guys, and Dan, thanks for putting this together.
You bet. I'm Dan Small, more Outdoors Radio, right after this.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PeteandWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Step outside, let us be your guide, Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot Breakwater Falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small.
Well, it's time for another Lake Michigan fishing report brought to you by Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan and on the web at DumperDan.com. And you'll find updates on his Facebook page where he posts fishing reports and fish pictures and other exciting things just about every day, including a video and audio report based on this interview that we do every other week. And on Facebook, you'll find him at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. And our second sponsor this week is Driftwood South Pier in Sheboygan. They're just a block closer to the lake from Dumper Dan's, easy to find. And you can find them on the web at driftwoodsouthpier.com and on Facebook at Driftwood South Pier. And I believe this will be the final Lake Michigan report for the season because things are winding down, but we'll find out. Joining us is Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welsh. Well, Dan, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
You betcha, buddy. I am back, and I got a current report for you. And, yes, even though it's 85 degrees and sunny out, we're well into September, and it's going to start to wrap up here in a few weeks. We got bookings left. We're running still pretty much every day, but we will be pulling a Dumper Dan fleet of boats out of the water here the early part of October. So weather's been good, been sunny, warm, and calm, no rain, but it is winding down. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this has been quite a year. I don't know if you want to try to recap it or talk about, well, let's talk about what's going on right now. I imagine the big kings are in the harbor, and are they still coming in?
They are coming in, Dan. That's a good question. We've had a couple batches of them come in, and what I mean by batches is these kings will be out in that 80 to 120 foot range about a mile offshore, and then all of a sudden they'll come into the harbor area chasing bait, the mud water, mud line out of Sheboygan will draw them in. They'll stage in front of the harbor for a few days, and then they'll head up the river and spawn. They can get up as far as the Kohler Dam up the Sheboygan River at that point. That's where they do their spawnings. And then when they shoot through, another batch will come through, and another one yet. Different size kings, males than females, than what we call jack kings, which is what we're catching now. They're like the stunted four-year-olds that average about 8 to 12 pounds each. They're just real fat. After that, we'll have coho come in and spawn too, and that's usually in October. A lot of different batches of salmon coming in, and that'll go on for a few more weeks yet, and we target them fish when they're there, and when they're not, we go offshore, you know, 1, 3, 4, or 5 miles out, and we go after other fish, hope trout and salmon species when they're not there.
All right, so you've still got action, that's good. Now, this was quite the year. We've talked to you every other week since April. You want to try to recap it and tell us how it was for you?
Yeah, I'll briefly go through each month. Next year, Dan, it'll be my 40th year in the charter fishing business at Dumper Dan's here when I started it in 1985. This year was probably one of the best fishing years I've seen maybe ever, but for sure in decades. Last year was phenomenal. This year was better. And the fish stock is way up. The bait fish is way up. We started out in April early. We put the boats in early April. I believe it was April 5th, so we were fishing brown trout along the shoreline in April. But then in May, we had that massive school of coho salmon come here, and they were here all of May and half of June, and we targeted in the cohos and just caught limits upon limits of coho salmon, a lot of bait, a lot of good eating sized fish. Then we went into July. The kings took off like wildfire. A lot of big kings, a lot of numbers of kings. That went well into August. We had some lake trout fishing in between. We did go after some trout for certain customers that wanted them. And also, if the king bite slowed down, we target some lake trout as well. All species we got all year. And rainbow steelhead fishing was phenomenal. That was mixed in June, July, and August with the kings and the cohos as well. The fish were never out really all that far this year, which was really nice. We didn't have to motor too far to get to them. Throughout the summer, we were traveling anywhere from the lighthouse area out to about 5-6 miles, so easy access to these fish. And the reason why, a lot of the bait was along the shoreline, you know, not out that far offshore. And water temps were perfect, a lot of 50 to 60 degree water temps.
that kept these fish active. A lot of thermal climbs, a lot of temperature breaks, a lot of bait fish, so a lot of fish. It's just excellent. I can't wait to see the numbers, but I would think we caught probably 20,000 fish at Dumper Dan Charters, but I'm not positive, but it might be more than that, might be less, but we ran about 1,000 trips this season again, like we normally do, and a lot of customers coming from all over the Midwest to take in on what this fishery really has to offer. So awesome year. I can't wait for 2025. We have more reservations right now for 2025 than we ever had coming out of the previous year. So a lot of people are ready to come back, and I'm really looking forward to next year. It's just going to keep getting better and better right now, Dan.
Any sense from the DNR or from stocking reports or other charter captains that it will be this good or better?
Absolutely. And I talk to every day from the charter captains from Port Washington, Algoma, Kewaunee, a few from Milwaukee, pretty much on a daily basis. And we talk exactly about this, you know, and how each port's doing and how far out the fish are, and trying to feed on each other's info to help our customers out in our own ports. And they feel all the same way. I mean, a lot of the ports did awesome this year up and down the Wisconsin shoreline. And as far as fish stocking goes, you know, I definitely have them numbers. And we've doubled in the King stocking here in the last 5 years. I mean, we're at 1.6 million fish per year on the Wisconsin side of just Kings planted, where 5-6 years ago it was half of that. It was 800,000. Cohos are up in stocking, so are Steelhead and Rainbow. Lakers are down a little bit, and the Browns are down a little bit on stocking. Also, brook trout were added. I don't have the exact number of how many are total are planted, but it's close to 3 million trout and salmon combined for the Wisconsin side alone. And now keep in mind, Dan, they stock in Michigan, Indiana, Illinois too, and these fish swim all over the place. So there's a lake full of fish right now, and the fishery is booming. It's a world-class fishery and might be one of the best years I've ever seen for numbers of fish.
Fantastic. Well, you are pulling your boat soon, but do you have opportunities if people still want to fish with you?
We do, yeah. We have some trips left yet we're running. We do have openings. Get on out here. The weather's good. I can still get you in the next couple of weeks. We do have condos open for lodging if needed. My number, again, here, talk to me, Dumper Dan, at 920-377-1147. Also, check out our Facebook page every day at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, and you can access that right off our website at dumperdan.com.
All right. Well, Dan, your second sponsor this week is Driftwood South Pier, a familiar place to a lot of your clients. You can almost hold your breath and walk there. It's just a block from you. What can you tell us about Driftwood South Pier?
They got a great location, you know, just like my store and condos on the river and the boats. You know, it's so scenic on the riverfront here in Sheboygan, and you can walk there from my place or drive right up to the place. Obviously, it's on South Pier Drive. You can see the harbor area and the whole river system from their place on their patio deck outside, which is really nice. A lot of people sitting there every day with this gorgeous weather all summer long. Also, inside seating and dining and the air conditioning is nice, too, on the hot days. Their menu is excellent. They have a lot of different kinds of food, good choices of beers and beverages, snacks, and, you know, supper, lunch, what have you. So Driftwood, South Pier Drive is definitely a place to stop when you're in Sheboygan.
Yeah, I took a look at their Facebook page and their website. They do have a great menu, and they're launching a new loyalty program and gift card. So if people want to become regular customers there, they can get some benefits from that. Well, Dan, what's in store for you for the off season, or is there such a thing?
Well, there actually is. I mean, like I said, we're taking reservations for next year. We'll be doing that October, November, all winter long. Gift certificates for Christmas, all of that good stuff here at Dumper Dan's. But we're going to take a little time off. I talked to my crew, and with the nice fall October weather, a lot of guys are going to be deer hunting. We're going to go after some perch on Lake Winnebago in the Bay of Green Bay and just have a little time to ourselves on the water. My captains, my mates, my store helpers, my kids. I'll be doing the same in my Robalo. I am heading out to Kansas for a deer hunt. I'll be in Minnesota a lot for deer hunting for bow and guns, so I'm really looking forward to that. We got some cameras out there watching what's going on with the buck activity right now, so Right now, a tree stand or a tower stand sounds pretty pleasant and quiet, so I'm looking forward to that myself.
I'll bet you are. Well, Dan, thank you so much for these reports all season now and for your sponsorship, and I know a lot of listeners key in to your reports on Lake Michigan because you know what's going on with all those boats on the water every day.
Yep, and I thank everybody for following us. I hear a lot of that in town. People come in my store, follow you and I on the Near Talk radio show with reports for the Sheboygan area, and I'll continue to do them. I enjoy doing it and keeping people informed.
All right. Well, we will keep in touch during the off season, and we will have you on again come April.
Sounds good. I'll be here. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Captain Dumper Dan Welsh with the final Lake Michigan fishing report from Sheboygan for the season. His business is Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store. The website is DumperDan.com, and on Facebook, where you can listen to this report and see some of the photos of the action we've been talking about, is Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters. And just down the pier, about a block closer to the lake from Dumper Dan's, you'll find Driftwood South Pier, a really fine bar and grill with good food. They are on the web at DriftwoodSouthPier.com and on Facebook at Driftwood South Pier. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PeteandWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend. On the web at cedarlakesales.com. They have a big inventory clearance sale on boats, electronics, docks, and lifts, and markdown prices on a bunch of used boats. It's a great time to save big on a boat. They've also got winter storage space, so make sure you get in before that fills on you. It's first come, first serve, so check their website for details. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com. By Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com. By Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-petenwell.com, and by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not on the air where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And the last several years of the Deer Hunt Wisconsin show are also archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
And if you want to hear this radio program when it's more convenient for you, you can find us online. Get over to LakeLink, lake-link.com. Go to their outdoor radio page and download it from there, or check it out at outdoornews.com/podcasts. Dan's on social media. Follow him at Dan Small Outdoors. I'm there as well. Follow me at Hardwater Jeff.
The Francis Creek Sportsman's Club is hosting a squirrel hunt and meat raffle next Saturday. That's the 28th. That's in Manitowoc County, and the information came from my friend Roger Vanderlot. Registration is the day before, so if you want to do this, Friday from 4 to 7, at least one member from each team must register. It's a $5 entry fee, a whopping $5 for individuals, and an additional $5 per person for three-person teams. And the weigh-in is at 2 on Saturday, 2 for teams, 3 for individuals. And you can get in the drawing for a squirrel gun as well. There's a meat raffle that follows the award presentation. For information, call 920-860-0941. The event's open to all. You don't have to hunt. And it's air-conditioned in that clubhouse if it's cold, warm outside next week. Although, no, they're not, and that may not be an issue next week. We do not know yet. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. His next performance is this Sunday. That's tomorrow for most folks. A matinee at 4 p.m. at the Harbor Table in Washburn, where Warren and friends will perform Autumn Fancy. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.